Well, what do you know? 11:15, the hours go by so quickly. Mabel Louise, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
You're looking good.
Lots of nice rain that we've had.
Sure did. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. It just came down, just poured at my house. And have you noticed the foliage on the plants and the trees? They're so beautiful. Have you planted your garden? Oh, I have 4 tomato plants out. I've planted them in the midst of the shrubs. No, I don't have any area for a garden. But it's fun to go out and pick a nice fresh tomato and have a bacon and lettuce tomato sandwich. Do you like that? I do. Makes you reminded of summer. Oh, the Lord is so good, isn't he? So today I want to talk to you about, would you like to have peace in your heart in the midst of all of the turmoil that's going around in our world today? Well, my series is entitled In Search of Peace. And so today I want to talk to you about waiting on the Lord really brings us peace. Waiting for answered prayer. Waiting for leadership. Well, I had to search the scriptures, of course, as I always do, for a special portion of scripture that talks about waiting on the Lord. Yes, I know. If you're a Bible student, you probably would have gone right away to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. But today I have a psalm that really is called the Psalm of Trust and Peace and Wait. It starts right out with the verse concerning waiting. And by the way, it's also called the only psalm, because it has the use, even if it's only 12 verses, of the word only 4 times. So I'm going to read it to you, and it's Psalm 62. If you're going through some real trials today, why don't you get the dust off your Bible and read this particular psalm? Because you can join David going through a huge trial in his life. Let me just give you a little bit of the background of this psalm. It sounds like something out of what he might have written in his diary, but it's addressed to the chief musician, Jeduthun. And of course, he was the choir director, and he is going to be using David's psalm in worship. So the picture that I received from the commentaries, and I searched out in several of them, is that he has just completed his devotions with the Lord, and now he's expressing the results of that time with Jesus. His heart is encouraged, and he wants to share his testimony with you and me. And who isn't going through trials? The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So here's where it starts in verse 1. And he is saying and addressing this to you and me, as I said, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. David never forgets the joy of the Lord through salvation. And here he's letting us know right away that he is waiting on the Lord for answered prayer. What's he praying about? Well, the background of this psalm is Absalom is taking away the throne from David, his father. He's going around behind his back and encouraging the people to make him king. And someone has come to the palace and told David what's happening. And so David leaves, and one of the commentaries says he left in such a hurry, he was barefoot. Can you imagine that? And this prayer apparently happened before he wrote this particular psalm. He goes on to say, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." So the Lord has really encouraged him, hasn't he? Because he's saying, "I'm waiting now. I've prayed. Now I'm waiting. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence." And here's that word "only" again. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And here's another "only" coming up. "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Isn't that beautiful? Oh, how easy it is to get all riled up and wait on ourselves and our own opinions and decisions. And here is David in such a trial, and he's saying, "My soul waits only upon God, for my expectation is from him." What a testimony. "In God," he says, "is my salvation." Look how many times he mentions his salvation. He says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." Isn't that something? Even though his son is trying to take away everything from David, he's letting all of us know God was his defense. And he adds to that, I love it, "I shall not be moved." Wow. "In God is my salvation and my glory." Here's another statement of his salvation. "God is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." Oh, if you're out there today and you're going through some troublesome times, let me remind you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, let the Lord be your rock. Let the Lord be your strength. And listen to what he says next. "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." And I love this verse 8 because it's the theme of the whole psalm. Trust in the Lord at all times, when the good times and the bad times. Pour out your heart before him. What's he mean? Pray, pray, pray. And then he says, "God is a refuge for us." He's saying God is wanting to listen to you. He wants to hear your needs. He wants you to depend upon him. "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." And then he goes on and says, "Trust not in oppression." Oh, how Satan tries to get us down and get us so discouraged that we fail to trust the Lord. We become self-centered and try to work out everything ourselves. So here David is saying, "Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon those. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Isn't that precious? Unto thee, O Lord, he says, belongs mercy. For you render to every man according to his work. Isn't that beautiful? I love that psalm. I was so excited when I found it. And you know what? Let me encourage you to read that today. If you have a problem in your life, and who doesn't have problems? It's so beautiful. And it reminds us where our priorities can be. Trusting the Lord and letting him be our refuge. Letting him work it out instead of us. Well, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, I think waiting means I must trust God and not be demanding, but trust him to work out the problem. And that's exactly what David was doing. He was not going to be defeated. Even though he had to leave and run for his life, he knew the Lord was running right beside him as he left. So I think learning to wait means I must trust God. So we become sensitive to his presence and sensitive to his leading, asking him, what do you want me to do, Lord? How can I run from this, David is saying. Where shall I go, Lord? I know you're my protector, and I'm trusting you. Then we must learn to trust him and accept what his leading is in our lives and ask him specially for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, and who doesn't need it, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and withholdeth not. So we learn to trust Jesus in any circumstance. Yes, even in divorce. Yes, yesterday I had to go to the hospital to take someone there. And I sat in the waiting room waiting for them to be with the doctor. And while I was waiting, a dear lady came in, and I was able to talk to her about Jesus. And we talked about this very thing, waiting on the Lord. She was going through a divorce, and how she needed to ask the Lord for special wisdom. So I had a beautiful chance to praise the Lord and to share Jesus. And another thing, as we wait on the Lord and trust him, we must be obedient to him. In other words, we can't pray and ask for his way out of our problem unless we follow and obey his instructions. And he will lead us if we get out of the way and let him. And by the way, I wanted to share too with you. As I was preparing this message, I took time to go to Cruden's Concordance, and I counted that the word wait and waiting and waited is in the Bible over 100 times. So I think that really, really means that he wants us to wait on him, to seek his guidance and his wisdom. Well, here's some more verses that I found that I thought were special, and I want to pass them on to you. Psalm 25, 4 and 5 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. In other words, and I'm sure this is David again saying, Lord, teach me, give me directions. And that's exactly what the Lord will do. He goes on to say, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait. all day. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'm going to leave you with that beautiful, beautiful verse. Remember, he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.
Indeed. Thank you, Maeve Louise. That was just fine. You know, folks who were listening on Tuesday and they heard how it was difficult for you to continue speaking. And I'm sorry to bring this up because we talked about not doing that.
I was hoping you would.
But the Lord's provision is such a blessing. We don't know his timing, but you were forced to wait on the Lord to finish your message. So there's a place for that kind of patience. And we don't understand.
I wonder how many people this year have had to face the pollen in the air.
Me?
Like I have. I have
not
asthma.
Like you, though. Yeah.
I have really suffered from not only the pollen, but also the humidity.
That's been hard the last
few days. The combination of the two is horrible.
It's heavy. It is hard.
So yesterday, it was so humid.
And it was.
I guess it was way up there, almost 100%.
Well, you're just leading us perfectly into this weather break that we need to do here right now. And it's wonderful because that's the kind of north breeze. It's kind of brought down some drier air. It's kind of just what the doctor ordered right now, I think, isn't it?
So I thank Jesus. I want to say this publicly. Yeah. I want to thank Jesus for helping me to go through the broadcast without coughing.
Yes.
The Lord is so sweet and so good. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mabel.